I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. This week I'm in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada for ACT Expo, and my guest is Sasko Kuklev, Head of On-Road Solutions for Volvo Autonomous Solutions. In other words, driverless trucks. Volvo's doing a lot in this area, and we're about to find out all about it. Welcome, Sasko.
Thank you, and nice to be here.
So, first of all, introduce yourself. Tell us exactly what your role is at Volvo Autonomous Solutions.
Yeah, so I'm heading up what we call the On-Road Solutions Organization, which is, you can say, the trucking part of Volvo Autonomous Solutions. A little bit about Volvo Autonomous Solutions. So we were created 1st of January 2020 to focus even more on the autonomous area, and our responsibility is to develop, commercialize, sell autonomous solutions for the Volvo Group globally. We're doing that in two segments or industry verticals that we're focusing on. So it is mining and quarries, which is, you can see, more as confined areas. There we are starting in Europe, in the Nordic countries, and we are developing the full solution, the full stack. So truck, driver, the whole ecosystem completely by ourselves. So it's a Volvo solution. And there we have been in operation now since a couple of years, actually. So we have a mine in Norway, together with our customer Bjørn & Kalk, that has been in full commercial autonomous operation, and then we also have a mine with our customer Boliden in Sweden. So that, you can say, that segment is almost at some kind of early scaling, but it's a simpler use case as well. Then the other one, which is my responsibility, is on-road or public road applications, and here specifically we are talking about the highway segment. Here we are starting up in US because here is where we see the biggest pull from our customers, the authorities, and all of that. It's pretty much ready from that perspective.
Yeah.
And in that segment, we are working with partners. So it's a partnered solution. So we, of course, come in with the truck, but then we have autonomous driving partners, and it's two that we have been, that we are in partnership today. It's Aurora and Waabi.
Okay, now, before we get into this, there's obviously different levels of autonomy, and it can be a bit confusing. Can you just briefly tell us what those levels are and where your on-highway trucks sit?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, because I hear and I read different interpretations of the levels. I will tell you mine, where what we are aiming at is level 4, which is fully autonomous, but on specific sort of lanes, applications, use cases, while level 5 is more autonomous everywhere, anytime, for everyone. And then we have level 3, which is more of a autonomous functionality that is still supporting the driver, but the driver is still in the cab but doesn't act, so he or she can do something else while the truck is driving. That is not something we are working on. So we are looking into the completely self-driving, so to say, so level 4.
Okay, and this currently takes place in Texas, and I heard yesterday you announced that there's a new route, isn't there, from Dallas to Oklahoma City, which is, what, 200 miles or so?
Yes, that's correct. So we have started in Texas, and specifically on two lanes between Dallas and Houston and Fort Worth, El Paso. We are in commercial autonomous operation today, but we still have a safety driver on board that is more monitoring and observing. And we do that in a commercial setup, so moving freight for our customers in a real sort of commercial setup. And now we yesterday announced that we're expanding that to also cover a third lane, which is Dallas to Oklahoma City. And with that, we are first of all going cross state borders, which is important that we can do. It also shows that we are now in some kind of expansion. We have a plan for how to go beyond that as well. But the other thing that is super interesting from that opening and that implementation that we're doing there is that we do this now in what we call end-to-end setup, meaning that we are moving the freight autonomously from and into the customer facility, which is super important, and I think it's a proof that autonomous solutions can really operate in the environment that our customers are operating in today. For the two first lanes, we started by setting up specific autonomous terminals next to the highway, and that was very much to reduce the complexity of the first and the last miles, so the drayage piece. So how that work is that we pick up the load at the customer with a regular truck and driver. We drive it manually to the terminal. There we swap, and then you do the long haul stretch, the highway stretch autonomous, and then you swap again, which made it easier for us to start because you sort of reduce the complexity. But of course, it introduces extra legs, the drayage piece, which is costly. What we are doing now is that we're removing the drayage for the Dallas, Oklahoma case, which is super good. Our customers want that, but it also proves that the technology is taking steps and getting more and more mature.
Okay, so why the U.S. in particular? Why Texas? I'm assuming this has a lot to do with traffic conditions, geography, weather.
I would say why U.S. This is where many of the startups or the AD players came up around 2016, 15, 17, and that was also when we decided that this is something we need to look into and understand what it means. So that is one reason. So, and then also we have felt that there is a lot of pull from our customers, that our customers are willing to invest in this and be part of it. The regulatory environment is also friendly. There are many states that where you can operate autonomously today, and Texas is one of them. So then why Texas? I used to talk about three different things. So the regulatory, of course, environment is there, so we can operate commercially today. There's a huge freight corridor. I think that is maybe the most important. All our customers are there. So it is all the freight that is going cross country, east to west, and then you have the big cities of Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Austin. So all our customers there, it's a lot of freight. And then finally, at least in the beginning, that was an important part, is that the weather is friendly for autonomous. So it's not snow and bad weather, and so it's trickier then. I think over time the technology will mature so much so that we'll be able to handle all the different weather conditions.
And is that when it comes to Europe?
I think it's not the weather that is the sort of the weather part that is deciding if we should go to Europe or not. It's more, is the market ready for an autonomous solution? The mining example that I shared, the mine in Norway together with our customer Brønnøy Kalk, that's in the northern parts of Norway where we have snow,
of course,
6 months of the year. So we are handling those types of environments already today.
Okay, now these trucks are actually built in the factory, aren't they? With third-party components. How does it work? What's the deal with Aurora?
I think this is super important for us and something that I think we are standing out in a positive way then. We said early on that we don't want to take a truck off today and upfit it with a bolted-on system. We said, let's build the right product from the start. That might lead to that we will be out a little bit later in starting to do testing and collecting miles and so on, but we felt that we want to do that, and we want to take the responsibility of the truck and make sure that it is safe, it is gets the Volvo quality stamp. We have built it from scratch to be autonomous, so it's actually designed and developed from scratch for autonomy purpose.
Okay.
With all the redundancies that are needed for the safety critical systems, and here we are talking about braking, steering, power, compute, vehicle motion management, communication. We even have it on the lights. So the safety critical systems, you have to have, you can see it as you have two systems doing the same thing. So if you have a primary and a secondary system, so if the primary braking system fails, you have a secondary that kicks in and can still brake the truck. So that redundancy is super important from a safety perspective. Then what we do as well, we said that was super important for us. Then we had industrialization and scaling in mind from start. So in order to get scale and to be able to, as I said, quality stamp it, and have an industrial product, we believe that we have to get it into our manufacturing facility. So that is what is happening now. We have built a launch fleet of the autonomous trucks with all the redundancies and also the virtual driver integrated in the factory. So basically when it comes out, we can just take it to the lane where we want to operate it, and it's ready, so to say.
Wow. So how many are on the road?
We have today two hands of trucks doing commercial runs, as I shared, on the two first lanes in Texas, and now also the third that we have opened up. And then, of course, we have trucks that are out there for development purpose and so on as well.
Now, how does the truck actually see? And is it LiDAR, radar, cameras, a mixture of all?
It's a mix of all, and also there we have redundancy. So this is the responsibility of our autonomous driver partners. So they are responsible for the driver hardware and software. So it's a mix of sensors because they are good in different things. So also there it's about redundancies. So it's LiDARs, it's cameras, it's radars.
Okay. Now, would you say it's actually safer than a human driver?
We believe that it should be safer, yes.
Because it's not going to fall asleep. It's
yeah,
not gonna...
but we, and I'm myself, I don't only believe, I'm super confident that it will be. But since we have not been, I mean, it's not commercialized yet, we don't have like the facts to back it up. But yes, according to me, yes, it will be safer.
Yeah.
So if you look at all the accidents that are happening out there today, I think it's, and there are different reports, some are saying 95%, some 93% of all the accidents are due to the human error. And here we will not have a person in the cab. So yes, I think we will definitely improve when it comes to accidents.
Now, we often hear autonomous trucks compared to aviation in terms of safety and redundancy. Is that a fair comparison?
You can say it's a fair comparison. We need to really we have a rigorous way of handling safety, and safety is for us like the core in this area. So first of all, like we, the Volvo Group, we have safety as our core, one of our core values. I think we are recognized for all the safety innovations that we have done over the years, and this is of course, I would say, even more important for the autonomous area. So in everything we do, whether it's like design, development, manufacturing, but also operation, safety is the top thing. We have a rigorous process of how to sign it off, a framework that goes cross-functionally, different layers in the organization. And it's important to understand that it's not enough that we as an OEM tick off that the truck is safe, and then that the virtual driver, the AD, the autonomous driver company, ticks off that the driver is safe. We also have to make sure that we tick off that it's safe when they are integrated, and also when it's in operation. So a lot of effort put into that.
Okay. Now, going back to the aviation thing, I've got to ask, would you get on a passenger plane without a pilot?
I think that we are, aren't we doing that all the time, I was about to say, because what I've heard, the airplanes are, I don't know what the number that I heard, but like 95 or something percent of all the time, it is driverless, yeah. If you say so. There is a pilot there, but it's flying by itself. And I even heard, I've never been in the cockpit, so to say, to see it, but I've also heard that it can land by itself, more or less. So yes, I would do that. And I'm most probably already doing it.
So let's talk about a difficult scenario everyone thinks about. How does the system deal with an unavoidable accident situation? And how does it make that split decision between two bad outcomes?
First of all, I think like what we are aiming at here with this system is that we should not end up in those situations. And we have several examples of that, and like real cases, videos, which I would love to share with you where, and I will bring up a couple of examples. We're driving on the highway in the middle of the night, and the sensors see that there is a person walking on the sideways, so to say. But the human eye cannot see it.
No, of course.
And it takes 11 seconds before I can see it, the human eye can see it.
Wow.
During those seconds, what the truck is doing is changing lane, so you don't end up in a potential risk of hitting the guy. So those type of examples will, or that is what I believe, that the technology will take us out from those situations where we end up in accidents. So I have another one which is super great. We are standing, and this is real cases, we're standing at the stoplight, and the stoplight turns red, so we are ready to go. What the driver sees is that it's coming a van or a pickup in a very high speed, but they have red, they're coming from the left, but they're driving too fast, so the system understands that this guy will drive over red, and he or she does, so we don't take off. Unfortunately, the car next to us does, and there is a collision. But that's also proof of how sophisticated the solution is, and can see in a better way and understand the situation than the human can.
And who ultimately carries responsibility in the event of an accident? Is it the operator? Is it Volvo? Is it the software provider?
I mean, we will of course take the responsibility on our side if an accident happens. But then it depends on the circumstances, what has happened. So we will need to look into the case and where, why did it happen, what was causing the whatever reason why the accident happened, and if it's due to that we have done something wrong, of course we will take that responsibility.
So what's the public reaction been so far? Because I'm assuming these trucks are clearly identified as autonomous.
No, I think public acceptance is always important, and something that we have talked about, that we need to sort of have that in mind. We are running these solutions in Texas, as I said, and we have done that for quite some time. And I mean, it's starting to be part of the normal flow. So I would not say that there is any big reactions. I was actually in San Francisco the other week here. Honestly, if you don't believe in autonomous, go to San Francisco and get into a Waymo taxi and just experience that. It's awesome. And they, you see them everywhere.
I saw one here this morning.
I mean, they are everywhere. I heard that I don't have the facts, but I heard that they have taken over a big part of that market in San Francisco. They are now implementing it everywhere. So it is already happening, and there it's no one questioning there comes a robotaxi. It's there. It's part of the traffic, and I feel it's the same in Texas as everyone. All the different autonomous players are there, so you see the autonomous trucks pretty much everywhere, also on those first lanes in Texas.
Now you've said currently there is a driver in the driver's seat.
Yes.
What do they do? Can they relax? Can they fall asleep? Can they read a book? Or are they on edge watching?
No. We don't want them to do that. So they are there in case of something should happen, so that they can take over. So it's like a safety precaution or safety measure we have as we are doing the last sort of verification, validation of the solution. What we can say is that there is not so much happening, because the system and the solution is getting so mature and reliable. So, but they're still there. So we are not ready yet to remove the safety driver completely, but we are getting close. We're talking more about quarters than years. So we are really getting close now.
Wow, yeah. So can you automate every part of the driver's job, or are there certain aspects that you never are going to be able to replace?
with us now going for what we said, end-to-end, basically we are automating the whole flow from picking up the load at the customer site and driving it the whole way into the destination point at the customer site. So that driving we are automating completely. Then of course someone still need to connect the trailer, someone need to inspect the truck, someone need to fuel the truck. I mean, those activities we will still do manually.
Yeah.
There is a person that have to do that.
So will autonomous trucks solve the driver shortage, or is that too simplistic?
We believe that autonomous can definitely be one solution to solving the driver shortage. From our side, how we have been seeing autonomous is that it is a it's more of a complement to what we have today. So it's not like we have not seen autonomous that will go in and replace manually driven trucks and drivers. That they will still be very, very much needed. So it's a complement. I think all the, maybe not all, but many trends and reports are showing that the transport need will just increase. We're talking about like fivefold up to 2050 in transportation. So we need to also come up with new solutions to capture that increased need. We know that we have a driver shortage today. So with more transportation, less drivers, we will have a problem. And we believe that autonomous is can play a big role there.
Okay, it's going to be quite a while until autonomous trucks are everywhere. In that time, is there not a fear that young drivers thinking of spending several thousand dollars on their training won't do it anymore because they'll think there isn't a job for life here?
I understand the fear, but I would say to the young guys that you talked about, that they should think in the opposite way, that we have a driver shortage today, we have an increased demand that is coming. So the drivers will still very much be needed. What we are aiming at with autonomous is specific routes, specific lanes, more the long stretches where, at least what I've heard, the drivers maybe don't want to have those jobs when they are out for several days, sleeping in the cab and so on. And instead, the driver jobs can focus on the more regional hauling. They drive during the day, during the night, they are, or evening, they are back at their with their families and eating dinner and so on. So drivers will be needed. That is super clear for me. Autonomous will be more of a complement and will support the transport industry to capture the growth that we see, or the increased need, and will focus on the more long-haul stretches, which is the ones that we hear that the drivers maybe think they are the least attractive, so to say.
Okay. So what about security? I'm just thinking this through in my head now. If it was a proper driverless truck, middle of West Texas, no one around, what's to stop a criminal gang literally pulling up in front of the truck and making it stop?
Yeah, we have talked about that. Of course, we look into that. We look into several different scenarios here, like security is super important. We're looking into different scenarios and how we need to build a solution so that we also have all the things in place in relation to security. If you just, I don't know, if we speculate a little bit about your specific example, of course that can happen. On the other hand, this truck is equipped with cameras everywhere, and so it's easy to see who these guys are and so on. So I don't know. We have not been in a situation like that, so I cannot talk from experience, but what I can say is that from a security perspective, there is of course a super important area that we are including in the development and the implementation we are doing.
Is it a courteous driver compared with a regular driver? I mean, an example being you often see two trucks traveling like 1 mile an hour apart, and they will sit there for several miles. Is yours clever enough to avoid that happening?
Yes, it is. So it is. And I really would, I want to here now invite you to come down to Texas to put you in a truck so you can experience it yourself.
But
it really, like, take those things into consideration, like nudging, and if a truck comes too close, it moves a little bit, still without going into the next lane. If it slows down to get in behind, or accelerates to get in front of the truck and so on. So it is really sophisticated when it comes to that, which I agree. It's not always the case with us driving.
No, that's right. Okay, fantastic. So I suppose the last question really is, 5 years' time, what would have changed? What would the landscape look like?
Yeah, 5 years, this will definitely be implemented, I would say, on the highways, yeah, we will. It will be a natural part of the transportation industry, I would say. Trucks that are driving autonomously, as you see with robotaxis. I think also in our case, we are now starting, when it comes to the highway trucking segment, we're starting in US, but we definitely see that this will happen in other parts of the world, and we of course have ambitions to do that in other parts of the world. Like Europe, for example, or Australia, or others. So we are in a beginning of a big change, if we say so, and it's super exciting to be part of that. And yeah, we're really, really getting close to get it out on the road in fully autonomous in a real commercial setup.
Fantastic! Thank you so much. Really, really interesting stuff.
Thank you very much.